Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, August 28, 2024, 2 Corinthians.
All right, before we get started, there's a couple of things. First of all, there will be a short teachers' meeting after class tonight. Teachers' meeting after class tonight. Short. So if you're tall, you don't have to go. Short teachers' meeting after class tonight. Secondly, just to remind you that the evangelism team will be going out to the Veterans Home in Boulder City for a Freedom program this Saturday, August 31st. So pray that God will prepare the hearts of all the people there at the Veterans Home. Draw by His hand of grace everyone who should be there. Pray for the evangelism team that they're tools in God's hand to be used by Him to proclaim the grace gospel, and pray that the grace gospel is given clearly and accurately, and that God might use this to His honor and His glory to bring many sons into glory. That's this Saturday, August 31st. All right. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the Word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your infinite and Your matchless grace. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for the privilege that we have this evening of assembling in freedom to worship You through the study of Your Word. And we thank You, sir, that You have magnified Your Word over all of Your name. And therefore, the Word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Grace Evangelical Society has a bulletin they put out, Grace in Focus, and the editor of Grace in Focus is someone you all know, Bob Wilkin. And he has this in the program. Are you grieving over what is happening in our world? What God calls sin, the world calls holy and righteous. Marriage and the family are under attack. Sexuality and gender are shifting radically away from God's plan and creation. Anti-Semitism is on the rise throughout America. Colleges are turning our youth away from God and away from the Word of God. Even Christian organizations are buying into the woke agenda. Being complacent about the wickedness around us is a bad thing. Many scriptures teach us that that is true. Psalm 1, Amos 6, 1 through 8, Zephaniah 1, 12, 2 Peter 2, 7 and 8. We are to seek to reach the unregenerate, even if their attitudes and actions are offensive to us. There are two extremes to avoid. First of all, having nothing to do with the wicked may seem right, but it means shirking our responsibility, our royal ambassadorship, 2 Corinthians, to be available to bring the message of the grace gospel to all who will listen. Second, approving of the wickedness we observe is more than tolerance. It is cheerleading for iniquity. And that too we must not do. The Lord Jesus is coming again soon. May we walk with Him and eagerly anticipate His return until that happens. Keep grace in focus. Bob Wilkin. That's the name of the Grace in Focus. Second Corinthians chapter 6. We're just getting started in this great chapter. We noted the outline of 2 Corinthians 6. In 2 Corinthians 6, 1 through 10, we have the universal ministry of the church age believer. And then in 2 Corinthians 6, 11 to 18, we have the doctrine of separation. But we are in the first part, 2 Corinthians 6, 1 through 10, the universal ministry of the church age believer, or every member of the royal family of God is in full-time Christian service. The Apostle Paul is continuing what he taught at the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to 21. 2 Corinthians 5:18. Now all these things are from God, God the Father, the one who reconciled us to Himself through the agency of Christ. And He, God the Father, gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God the Father was in Christ reconciling the world, all of mankind, to Himself, not imputing their trespasses, their personal sins, against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation, the grace gospel. verse 20. Therefore, now we keep on being ambassadors for Christ. God the Holy Spirit, as it were, makes his appeal through us, the convicting ministry of God the Holy Spirit. We request on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Verse 21, he, God the Father, made the one who knew no sin, the impeccability of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin, the judicial imputation of all the world's sins to the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, as a substitute for us, for the purpose that we might become the righteousness of God in him, in union with Jesus Christ, sharing the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ as a result of the baptism of the Spirit and current positional truth. So the Apostle Paul is continuing now what he just taught in 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 21. We are all royal ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore we are all in full-time Christian service. As a royal priest, we represent ourselves to God, and as a royal ambassador, we represent the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1, we have the teamwork verb. Soon ergeo. Looks like this in the Greek. Soon ergeo. Soon, S-U-N, that's the preposition with. And the verb ergeo. So it's a compound verb. Soon ergeo. And this is the great teamwork verb. Soon ergeo is a compound verb made up of the preposition soon with and ergeo to work. So literally, it means to work together. As a team, to work together with someone. So soon ergeo means to work together with, to cooperate with, to help as a part of a team. Soon ergeo teaches the great principle and the Word of God of teamwork. As royal family of God, we are all on the same team. And that demands teamwork. We work together for the blessing of the whole body of Christ. And we work together for the evangelization of a lost and dying world. This is the universal ministry of the church age believer, the universal priesthood and the universal ambassadorship of the church age believer means that we are all in full-time Christian service. We are all on the same team, and that demands teamwork. And what is the key to teamwork? Well, verse 1, when we finish it, sounds like this. Now we, royal family of God, are all working together. We're all on the same team. We're all in full-time Christian service. And therefore, we urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. When you receive the grace of God in vain? Well, what has happened to you? You've gone AWOL. You're AWOL. And that is, unfortunately, the character and the what's going on in local churches all over America, absent without leave. Now just think. We're a local church. There are all these spiritual gifts. Okay, you all stay home. You all stay home. Only one here is Pastor Olson. Oh, you say, well, I'll get the email. I'll get the class. Okay, well, I'll stay home too. I'll stay home and just send you the email. I won't be here either. So, AWOL, AWOL, absent without leave. So who's left? The pastor, the quarterback, and everybody else is AWOL. There is no team. There is no teamwork. Just think, if the quarterback showed up and there were no center on the football team, there was no guard, there were no tackles, there were no receivers, there was no fullback, there were no running backs, just the quarterback. How do you think that team's going to do? I don't care how good the quarterback is. He's going to get killed. And that's what's going on today. It's ridiculous what's going on in local churches today by believers. There is no teamwork. Working together as a team. Everybody is a part of the team. It's a team working together. All the gifts working together. Not just the quarterback. Now the deacons are here. So there's another part of the team. We got the spiritual gift of pastor teacher and the spiritual gift of administration and the deacons. And they're here day after day after day after day. But it's a team. What about all the rest of the spiritual gifts? So the key to teamwork is you have to live the spiritual life that God's given us. If you're not living the spiritual life, there will be no teamwork. No teamwork in the body of Christ, no teamwork in a local church if you're not living the spiritual life. The key to teamwork is that you have been indwelt by God the Holy Spirit as the basis for the filling of the Spirit, the divine power to live the spiritual life, and the divine power for teamwork. For teamwork, there has to be a divine power. And that means you have to be living, fulfilling Ephesians 5:18. Keep on being empowered and filled with the Spirit. Keep on walking by means of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. It takes divine power for this teamwork. But when you're in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred, you're self-centered. The only thing that matters to you is you. You're self-centered. That's the reversionist. The reversionist is self-centered and not a part of the team. To be a part of the team, you have to be living the spiritual life by the grace and the power of God. And then there's teamwork. A local church is a team. Not just everybody doing their own thing. The teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, getting underneath that consistent and faithful metabolization of doctrine. When you find a sound Bible teaching church, you consistently and faithfully assemble to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. The metabolization of the Word of God, getting the Word of God in your heart, that's the power of the Word of God for you to have teamwork. Teamwork in the body of Christ, teamwork in the local church. And you need to advance to spiritual maturity and have fulfilled the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. Virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. And when that's true, you'll be motivated because you have personal love for God the Father. And that'll motivate you. That'll motivate you to have impersonal love for all mankind. Occupation with Jesus Christ. The first royal commission, universal priesthood of the church age believer, is important so that you can assemble in a sound Bible teaching church and represent yourself to God. Why do we have this local church? Why is it here? It's only for believers with positive volition and humility. Positive volition and humility. And humility is respect for the authority of God, respect for the authority of the Word of God, respect for the authority of the pastor who teaches the Word of God. That's the only reason why we're here. We're not here for the arrogant, the self-centered, those who have everything else that's more important. We're not here for that. We're here for those few who are positive and have humility, respect for God, His Word, and the pastor who teaches it. And the second royal commission, universal ambassadorship of the church age believer, so that you can represent the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. We are all in full-time Christian service. While there is distinction in spiritual gifts, we're all on the same team. We're all in full-time Christian service. We're all a member of the body of Christ, and at Upland Bible Church, you're on the team of Upland Bible Church. So all of the spiritual gifts that God has given provide great teamwork. Great teamwork in the body of Christ, great teamwork in the local church. So a local church is a team. It's not just the pastor. It's not just the pastor and the deacon. And there are many wonderful spiritual gifts. Yes, there is the gift of pastor-teacher. That's a communication gift. There's another communication gift, evangelism, that is a tremendous gift to communicate the grace gospel to the unbeliever. And there is the spiritual gift of administrative leadership, and that's what all the deacons have. There is also the spiritual gift of ministry or service. And then there's a great spiritual gift, the gift of helps. The spiritual gift of helps, a wonderful, fantastic spiritual gift. And every local church that is effective, those with the gift of help, that has to be a part of the team. And there is another great spiritual gift, and I've seen it operating in the past, and that's the gift of showing mercy. And when I see that, it is absolutely one of the most beautiful gifts, and I've seen it in this church again and again and again in the past. And then there is also the spiritual gift of giving. All of these are different parts of the team. Upland Bible Church is a team. The local church is a team. And it demands teamwork. It demands everyone on the team working together as one. Everyone on the same page. Everybody working together for the same objective, to glorify God to the maximum. So we have here in verse 1, now we, royal family of God, we're all working together. We're all on the same team, full-time Christian service. And therefore, we urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Now the word vain there is the Greek word kenos. Kenos looks like this in the Greek. That's K-E-N-O-S. Kenos. And kenos is translated vain in the King James Version. It means without result. It means without profit. It means without effect. It means without reaching its goal, without reaching the objective. That's kenos. Without result, without profit, without effect, without reaching its goal. When you receive the grace of God in vain, the whole team suffers. When you receive the grace of God in vain, the body of Christ suffers. When you receive the grace of God in vain, the local church suffers. Now we, royal family of God, are all working together. We're all on the same team. Therefore, we urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. All right, let's summarize that first verse. One, as royal family of God, we have been richly blessed with God's grace blessings. As royal family of God, we have been richly blessed with God's grace blessings. Two, at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, God the Father imputes to us His righteousness, justification by faith. He imputes to us His righteousness, and that establishes a phenomenal grace pipeline with the justice of God on one end and His imputed righteousness in us on the other end. Anytime anyone comes to the cross and places their faith in Jesus Christ, at that instant of faith in Christ, the justice of God imputes to each one of us His righteousness. That establishes this fantastic grace pipeline from the justice of God on one end to the imputed righteousness in us on the other end. Grace pipeline. And down that grace pipeline comes blessing, 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 blessing. We have been richly blessed by God. Right at the moment of faith in Christ, at that instant of faith in Christ, God sends down that pipeline 40 salvation blessings instantly. And then from that day of faith in Christ right up to today, He sends down that grace pipeline, logistical grace, blessing, and support. And that is temporal security. Temporal security, logistical grace, blessing, and support to keep us alive in the middle of the devil's world, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that He has for our life. And as you make the good decisions to fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for your life, when you make those good decisions to assemble in a sound Bible-teaching church consistently and faithfully and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you will advance to spiritual maturity and you will fulfill the ultimate objective and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And when that's true, God sends down that grace pipeline, greater grace blessing. Greater grace blessings in time and at the judgment seat of Christ, we will all be evaluated. And for those winner believers who attain spiritual maturity, there will be crowns and rewards, greater grace blessings for all eternity, given to the spiritually adult believer at the judgment seat of Christ. And those crowns and rewards will glorify Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. The plan of God for each one of us is to bless us. Send down blessings. Blessings down the grace pipeline. So point three. God has lavished His grace blessings upon all of us. God has lavished His grace blessings upon all of us. For we are the recipients of salvation by grace. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace you are saved through faith, and this salvation is not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So we are the recipients of salvation by grace. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. And the establishment of the grace pipeline with logistical grace, blessing, and support. Temporal security to keep us alive in the middle of the devil's world. Temporal security so that we can fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for our life. Five. Therefore, when you make bad decisions, to live the carnal reversionistic life in Satan's cosmic system, then you have received the grace of God in vain. Then you have received the grace of God in vain. And the whole team suffers. The body of Christ suffers. The local church suffers. So when you make those bad decisions to live the carnal reversionistic life in Satan's cosmic system, then you have received the grace of God in vain. So point six, a question. How do we avoid receiving the grace of God in vain? I'm glad you asked that question. Point seven, the answer. By living the unique spiritual life of the church age, God has given us this phenomenal spiritual life of the church age. And there are mandates that go with it. Ephesians 5:18, the mandate. Keep on being filled or empowered by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, keep on walking by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. The command of 2 Peter 3:18, keep on growing up spiritually in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Point eight. How do we avoid receiving the grace of God in vain? Point eight, by attaining spiritual maturity. Growing up to spiritual maturity. Fulfilling the ultimate objective of the spiritual life and have virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. So again, verse one. Now we, royal family of God, we are all working together. We're on the same team. Full-time Christian service. Therefore, we urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. And then verse 2 is a parenthesis. So I don't know if you have a parenthesis in your Bible, but you ought to put a parenthesis. Verse 2 is the parenthesis of operation grace or salvation. And Paul begins this parenthesis by quoting from Isaiah 49, verse 8. 2 Corinthians 6, 2 is a quotation of Isaiah 49, verse 8. For he saith, we always start with the King, thundering diction of the King James, saith thou? For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. We have the conjunction gar with the present active indicative of the verb lego plus the aorist active indicative of epakuo with the genitive singular of the personal pronoun su plus the dative singular of kairos plus the dative singular of dektos, the postpositive conjunction gar. Looks like this in the Greek, G-A-R, gar. And gar is an illative gar. It introduces a cause or a reason, and you correctly translate it for. And then we have lego. L-E-G, long O, lego. And lego generally means to utter in words or to say or to tell or to give expression to orally. But it is a verb that is used especially for the quotations from Scripture. So it's used every time for the quotation from Scripture, and you translate it for, he says, and he is God the Father, who is the author of operation grace and salvation, the cross. Lego is used to introduce the quotation from Isaiah 49, verse 8. For he says, and then we have the noun kairos. Kairos. Looks like that in the Greek, K-A-I-R-O-S. Kairos. A couple of things on this word. One, kairos literally or generally is translated time. Point two, kairos can refer either to a point of time or a period of time. In fact, this is a word that is used for dispensations. So when it's used of a period of time, it's the word for dispensations. But it's not used that way here. Here it's used for a point of time. Point three. In our verse, it refers to a point of time. What is that point of time? Well, first of all, that point of positive volition at God consciousness. Positive volition at God consciousness. I have had a couple of phone calls, one from the daughter and one from the son of my track coach in high school, John Rogers High School, Tracy Walders. Tracy Walders is now absent from the body and face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. Tracy Walders believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, and his wife Lita believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. Tracy Walders was, as far as I'm concerned, the greatest track coach ever. He was absolutely a phenomenal track coach. And he took me and coached me and coached me and coached me and coached me. And he left my junior year to go to San Jose State and become the head track coach at San Jose State University. But when I was underneath him, I was an unbeliever. But as I listened to him in our meetings, he stirred up my God consciousness. He would say, there is a living and true God. There is a living and true God. And when that God is inside of you, there's nothing you can't do. Nothing you can't do. Well, I wasn't a believer, but that stirred up my God consciousness. And he left to go to San Jose State. My football coach said, Dick, there's a camp I'd like you to go to. It'll be the greatest week of your life if you go. He said, they have all kinds of things. It's up in British Columbia. There's great fishing. They have a golf course. They have all these things. You're going to love it. He didn't say that they were going to talk about Jesus Christ. It was a young life camp. It was called Malibu, but it's not in California. They can keep that Malibu. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for that. This is British Columbia Malibu, young life camp. Well, I had no idea it was a Christian camp. I said, okay, I'll go. I went. And the first night, the speaker got up and started talking about God and the Bible. Oh, I was so upset that my football coach didn't tell me what was going to happen here. And oh, the next day I caused problems every way you can cause problems. And then that second night, I'm in there, and he says, now, before a man can come to know God, he's got to know what God is like. But first of all, let me tell you what man is like. And then he read from Galatians 5 about the sin nature and what the sin nature is like. And he went through that. I thought somebody's been telling on me. Somebody tattled on me. And I know I turned red and redder and reddest. And then after he finished that, he says, now, let me tell you what God is like. And he read Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. Nobody ever told me what God was like before. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And inside I go, well, that's not what I am, but that's what I want. That's what I want to be true of my life. And then he said, Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross, he paid the penalty for all of your sins. All of them. Once and for all, he paid the penalty for all of them. And if you simply believe in Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross, he gives you the gift of eternal life. And not only that, he comes to live inside of you. And God, the Holy Spirit, comes to live inside of you. And the fruit of the Spirit, the character of Christ, is produced in you and through you. Well, that's the first time I ever heard the gospel. And I believed in Christ right there. But I wanted to make sure when I went back to my cabin and got up in my bunk, I got my rear end up in the air and my head on the pillow. And I said, I believe in Jesus Christ. 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 I wanted to make sure it got through. But I was saved in there when he gave the gospel. And when I came home, I was home just a few days, and my mother sat with me at the breakfast table. She said, "Rich, what happened at that camp?" I said, "Mom, I've been wanting to tell somebody. I'm a Christian. I believed in Jesus Christ as my Savior." And my mother started crying, cried at the breakfast table. My mother was a Christian. And my father was an unbeliever. And he didn't want her telling us about God and the Bible and Jesus Christ. She said, "Well, I know something happened to you, and all your brothers and your sister know something happened to you. They keep coming up to me and saying, 'Mom, what happened to Rich? He's nice to us now.'" I said, "You know something, Mom? I didn't think I was doing anything any different, but they told me that when I believe in Christ, that Jesus Christ indwells me and the Holy Spirit indwells me, and that this is the characteristics of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit manifested." And she says, "Well, we can all see it." Well, it was Tracy Walders who stirred up my God consciousness. And then I finished my senior year at John Rogers High School and went to Washington State University. And I thought I was going to Washington State University to run in track and field, but God had now, I was in the hand of the Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ guided me Washington State University, because there was a local church there with a phenomenal Bible teacher, a graduate of Dallas Seminary. And there I grew up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I got involved in Campus Crusade for Christ. And that local church, there were maybe 10 adults in that church. But Campus Crusade for Christ came and talked to Pastor Breckel. And he said, "I just want you to know you are not a local church. If you want to be the evangelistic arm of this church, fine. But you are not a local church." And they said, "That's great." And then they, all over the campus at Washington State University. Washington State University there was a spiritual revival. A spiritual revival. A tremendous revival. All over Washington State University. And Bethany Bible Church, which had just this few people in it, filled up completely. Completely. The auditorium completely filled up. They built a balcony. The balcony was completely filled up. They tore out a wall, put a side room. That was totally filled up. And it was all college kids. All college kids. Totally filled up. Spiritual revival. That campus was turned upside down for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we grew up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And many of those men had the gift of pastor-teacher, and they went on to Dallas Theological Seminary and prepared for the ministry. And there are pastors all over America now, from Washington State University and Bethany Bible Church. There are pastors all over America now. And there were some had the gift of evangelism. They became missionaries, and they're all over the world as missionaries. And that all was from that spiritual revival at Washington State University. And I remember I was giving the gospel. Everywhere I went on campus, I was giving the gospel. And I would say this, and they would say that. And I didn't have the answer for it, so I go to Pastor Breckel, and I said, Pastor Breckel, I said, I'm giving the gospel to this guy, and I said this, and he said that, and I didn't know the answer. Pastor Breckel opened his Bible, show me. Then a couple days later, I'm there. Pastor Breckel, I was given the gospel, and I said this guy, and he said this, and I didn't know the answer. He would open his Bible and give me the answer. Oh, about the fourth or fifth time I did that, he says, Dick, can't you see what God is telling you? No. He's telling you, you need to get Bible doctrine. I've taught all these things. I've taught everything that you're asking questions about. I've taught it, and you haven't been there. I was AWOL, absent without leave. I wasn't there. I said, that's exactly what God is telling me. That's going to change. And it changed right there. And he taught every night. I was there every single night. There never was a time I wasn't there unless we had a track meet somewhere else. Otherwise, I was there every single night. And then I get a phone call from Tracy Walters. I'm in about my second or third year at Washington State University. And Tracy called me. He said, Dick, I'm going to be the director of a YMCA camp at a little lake north of Spokane, Fan Lake. And I would like you to be my assistant director. I said, well, Trace, I would love to be your assistant director. But you said YMCA camp? I think they've dropped the C. We might as well just call it the YMA camp because Christianity had been dropped out of it. I said, what do you say we put the C back in? Tracy Walters says, that would be a great idea. I said, how about having chapel every morning? Chapel. I'll be in charge of chapel. And all I want is the freedom to give the grace gospel of Jesus Christ. We had 200 kids every week. And every week, those 200 would leave and another 200. That week, another 200. During the course of the summer, thousands of those kids heard the grace gospel of Jesus Christ. Thousands! And Tracy Walters was right there on board. Well, Tracy Walters is now in heaven. I got a call from his son. His son, Kelly Walters, was 7 years old, and he was in my cabin. Tracy made sure that his son got in my cabin. And he said, Dick, I wanted to call you and tell you what an influence you have been in my life. And it started there when I was 7 years old. He said, every evening you gave the good news of Jesus Christ to everyone in the cabin, every single night. And I believed in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I said, well, that's fantastic. And I asked your dad if I had the freedom and the right to give the gospel to the kids in my cabin. And your dad said, yes, that would be great and wonderful. And he said, well, I believed in Jesus Christ. And he said, your influence on my life, he said, God used you in the most fantastic way in my own life. And now my life is dedicated to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, well, that's fantastic. He says, and I'm the one who's putting together the memorial service for my dad. I said, all right, well, you know your dad is a Christian, a believer in Christ. Yes, he says, I know. You know your mother is. Yes, I know. Okay. He said, will you put me and this memorial service on your prayer list and have your church pray for it? And I said, absolutely. He said, Everybody knew my dad. So he says, we had to go to the largest church in Spokane, the biggest church in Spokane, for this memorial service. He says, they'll be filled up with all kinds of people. I said, what an opportunity. I mean, we got to give the gospel to thousands of kids at Fan Lake, Camp Reed. Now you got a chance to give the gospel of Jesus Christ to all these people coming to for this memorial service. I said, I'll definitely, you'll be in my personal prayer and the prayers of the church. And this prayer list goes all over America. People get this prayer list, and they'll be praying for your memorial service. Tracy Walters was absolutely phenomenal person. As a track coach, yes, but more than that, his influence as a Christian to those who were underneath him. So Kairos, it's a point of time. That point of positive volition at God consciousness, that point of positive volition at gospel hearing, that moment of faith in Jesus Christ, that moment of eternal salvation. And kairos is modified by the verbal adjective dektos. And dektos comes from the verb dekomai, which means to receive or to approve or to accept. And therefore, dektos means acceptable or favorable. And the acceptable time or favorable time is when there is positive volition at God consciousness and positive volition at gospel hearing. When you have a geographical area where there's positive volition at God consciousness, that results in a great spiritual revival, a great spiritual explosion that's just waiting to happen. That's exactly what happened at Washington State University from 1965 to 1980. There was a geographical area there on campus, Wazoo, positive volition in God consciousness. And there was a great spiritual explosion, spiritual revival. That's what happened in Ireland in the time of Patrick. And by the way, Patrick's Day, Patrick's not Irish. Patrick is a Scot. He's a Scot. He was a missionary from Scotland. And he went down to Ireland, and there was great positive volition and God consciousness in Ireland. And Ireland was turned upside down for Jesus Christ under Patrick the Scot. So St. Patrick's Day, all you know about it is you drink green beer, which is, I wouldn't touch the stuff. But, or you put a clover, that's so stupid. Are you wearing green? I'm going to pinch you. Well, you know. Ireland was turned upside down. There was a great spiritual revival when Patrick the Scot came down to Ireland and evangelized Ireland. And then, one that you might not realize, the war between the states, the North and the South, there was a great spiritual revival in the South. A great spiritual revival in the South. I know the South lost the war between the states, but they didn't lose. They came out the winners. They had two of the greatest Christians ever in the South. Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee. Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee were great, great, spiritually mature believers. And the South had an awesome spiritual revival. After the war between the states, there was a spiritual revival that's there still to this day, receiving blessing as a result of that. I did a paper at Dallas Theological Seminary on the spiritual revival in the South during the war between the states. And it was centered on Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee, two amazingly wonderful, great believers. And Stonewall Jackson would rather get Bibles for his men than weapons. And he would take time all throughout the war between the states and take time and go to a local church and go in there and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And he'd be riding by, and if his men were praying, they would be praying. We wouldn't even know who this was. Somebody got off their horse and came over and got into the prayer meeting and started and prayed with them. And after the prayer was over, they looked up, and it was Stonewall Jackson praying with them. God and the Word of God was more important to Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson than anything. And there was a phenomenal spiritual revival in the South. Well, that's good enough for tonight. What we're studying here is very, very important. And we're not living in a time of, in this area, of great positive volition, God consciousness. It might change. It's nowhere in the country. It's nowhere in America. But if it was positive volition of God consciousness, who's going to bring the good news of the grace gospel? Where are those team members of local churches? Where are those evangelism teams going out and presenting the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ? Giving them the opportunity of faith in Jesus Christ. And then once it starts going, it just goes and goes and goes. I've seen it. I've been a part of it. I know what it's like. It's absolutely amazing. It's absolutely fantastic. I pray that in these last days, I pray that God will open the eyes of people all over the world to see Jesus Christ and the grace gospel. And I pray that before he comes at the rapture, I pray that there will be a spiritual revival all over planet Earth, people coming to know Christ as their Savior. I pray that every day, every day. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right. Short teachers meeting in the big classroom over here.